KFI AM 640 handle here. It is a Wednesday morning, November 24th. Big news that we're covering, an 8-year-old boy becomes the sixth person to die as a result of the SUV plowing into the Milwaukee Christmas parade. Be prepared. Red flag warning is here. Santa Ana winds sweep through the region over the next couple of days. So we're in it. We're in a red flag warning, unfortunately. Welcome to Southern California. Talking about California. When California raised its income tax rate to 13.5% for the top earners, that became by far the highest income tax rate in the country. Also, there's no such thing as capital gains. When you sell a business or sell stocks, it's a different tax rate on the federal level. Not in California. You earn the money. We don't care how you get the money. We're going to tax you the 13.5% if you make enough money. I mean, there's just income tax for virtually everybody in the state. And so you take that, and then you add retail sales posting double-digit growth during 2021, stock prices doubling from its low last spring, major firms posting historically high earnings, and what do you get? You get so much money pouring into California that Gavin Newsom can't get out of the way of the money being thrown at him. I mean, literally, a pile of cash is thrown at him. He moves aside to duck, and he gets hit by another going the other way. There's that much money. I mean, it is ridiculous. Right now, the independent legislative analyst is saying we're going to have an extra $31 billion for the state. On top of the $76 billion windfall that came in the last year. When he came in 2019, Newsom, he walked into a $22 billion a year surplus. California did fine during the pandemic, by the way. It actually got more money. I mean, it was one of the states that it didn't affect us at all, money-wise, for the state. What's happening? Well, here is a little sidebar factoid. There has been so much money coming in that the state has reached its constitutional spending limit. The state can only spend so much money. And then what else do you do with it? Well, under a law that was passed, and that was it was a proposition that was passed in 1979. It's called the GAN limit. And then California, at that time, we were on a tax-cutting crusade. This was a year after Prop 13 that lowered property taxes to 1% of the value of the home. And that bill, and we're talking about the GAN limit, cut spending. It was only to be limited by inflation and population growth. And here's the problem. Inflation was ridiculously low over the last few years. Population growth is stagnant. And so there's only a limit of what you can spend. Now, the GAN Act said that if the limit was reached, the surplus money had to be returned to the taxpayers. And there was money returned to the taxpayers a couple of times. $32, $64. I'm talking about, well, there are a lot of taxpayers in California. Then they did a revision, and the law was later amended that instead of going to the taxpayers, the split could be 50% to the taxpayers and 50% to schools. Well, today, under the current interpretation, this extra cash, and we're talking about tens of billions of dollars. I mean, it's insane how much money California has. Taxes can be cut. Yeah, that's going to happen. The money can be split between taxpayer rebates and K through 12 schools. Also, it can be spent on public works projects, local government aid, paying off debts, and emergencies. Now, I'm fine with it being used to rebuild infrastructure. No problem with that. And I'm sort of okay with it being used in the schools, although I'm not thrilled the way schools are managed. Paying off debt, I think, is always a good idea. Certainly having an emergency fund is a good idea, but we've already got piles of money in that. The only time this has been reached before, by the way, this constitutional spending limitation, and there's more money than that, was back in 1987 when the Republican governor, George Dumagin, and the Democratic-controlled legislature, and always has been, compromised on tiny little rebates. For example, as I said, people got checks of $32, couples received $64, and it all had to do with, of course, what your income was. And there'd be a maximum of $118 for a single person, $236 for a couple. Well, at least that's a little bit of money. I mean, $32? Eh, I don't think that's much. So will there be a rebate next year? Yeah, I think so. Except Governor Newsom says, well, social spending is a form of rebate. And that's where he is going to go. And keep in mind, this is what the government had this much money. We had our own state stimulus bill and money, $600 payments that the state had on top of all the federal stuff and unemployment. California, $600 per person for people who made less than $30,000. Then they changed it to $600 checks to people between $30,000 and $75,000. People earning less than $75,000 with dependents got another $500. Immigrants in this country illegally with dependents received another $500 on top of that. And you go, come on, how is that possible? How in God's name can you give illegal aliens more money than the rest of us get? Well, here is the argument. They live here, okay? They contribute to the California economy and society. That's questionable in terms of the tax. They go to school, the kids go to school, and it costs, what, $12,000 per kid per year to go to school? So that one we can argue. The main reason is they're not eligible, illegal aliens are not eligible for any comparable federal assistance. People who are undocumented do not get federal money. And so the governor said, well, since they don't get the money, we in California will give them the money. That is California, which is why we are known as the most liberal state in the United States and why a lot of people around the country thinks that California as a whole is nothing but a very large fruitcake. And I can see where they're coming. Now let's talk about a problem. And here I have no problem, and that is feeding people. And it's getting harder and harder. And I'm going to tell you about the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Act, food stamps, and other problems that people who don't have money, as they always have problems, but they're exacerbated this time around. And I'll share that with you when we come back. This is KFI AM 640, and let's check in with Jennifer Jones Lee. Good morning. Bill Handel here on a Wednesday morning, November 24th. Tomorrow, as you know, it's Thanksgiving, and the vast majority of us are going to have a big Thanksgiving meal, and we're going to stuff our faces. And most of us don't really worry about food insecurity. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody. Well, I know one person, but that actually suffers from food insecurity. That's sort of not in our lives. But unfortunately, there are plenty of people in the United States that do. And as I've said many times before, for a country as wealthy as ours to have people that are hungry or suffer food insecurity, and I'm talking about at the end of the month when people run out of money, all of a sudden high-quality protein disappears, and it's pastas, and it's carbs, and it's bread, and then it's crackers. That's humiliating, and in Yiddish it's a shanda, which is a shame to a level of magnitude that the word shame doesn't even apply. And food stamps are, and it's amazing how many people are on food stamps in this country. Food stamps are adjusted every year to keep up with inflation. But the problem is they're adjusted every year to keep up with inflation. And look what's happened literally over the last few months. The price of meat has exploded. The price of gasoline has exploded. Not that food stamps help with that. But if someone is driving to work, then money that would otherwise be spent for food now goes into paying for gasoline and paying for everything else. But the big issue is food. And you've got people that that unemployment insurance is now gone. The stimulus packages are now gone, and they're on their own. And in many cases, the jobs that people have, those that are working and need food stamps, are obviously not big paying jobs. So people who are on food stamps now are literally at the worst place they have been in a very, very long time. Food banks have exploded, or at least the demand for food banks have exploded. And if you look at the cost of groceries, and as I said, especially protein and produce, has shot up so fast in such a short period that the adjustment, the annual adjustment, didn't even come close to thinking that or recognizing what was going to happen or anticipating what was going to happen. So now come the experts. And one of the most obvious ways of dealing with this, you simply adjust it either semi-annually or quarterly to adjust for inflation and not doing the annual adjustment. By the way, annual adjustments are the way all adjustments are made for the most part, unless you happen to have a loan, like a HELOC that goes monthly. But if you're talking about cost of living index, COLAs, cost of living adjustment, if you happen to have a contract or whatever you get is based on that. For example, Social Security. You're going to see Social Security checks going up quite a bit because of inflation. You have contracts that are cost of living once a year. And that becomes really problematic when you have inflation on this level. And I don't even have to say it anymore, but I'm going to say it anyway. Communities of color have been disproportionately impacted by the cost of food. Another reason that food has gone up and inflation has really exploded is simply the cost of getting it here. For example, trucking, just transportation, has gone through the roof. So if you're a grower, let's say you're in the Central Valley and you're a farmer and you're growing lettuce or you're growing soybeans or whatever, and then it has to be transported hundreds of miles to whatever distribution center it goes to, well, the cost of that alone has increased dramatically. I mean, it is a shame that we're dealing with this. And America, well, it's tough. And I'll tell you something else about people that are of lower income. They live in neighborhoods that are considered islands or areas in which they're are no big supermarkets. There are no big box stores. These are what they rely on, these small neighborhood shops, corner stores like bodegas. And that's where they get their food for the most part, or in many parts, many ways. And those little stores don't have the purchasing power. They just don't. They pay more, and therefore the customers pay more. There is no such thing as economies of scale with these stores. So all of it creates the vulnerabilities that is being felt by people who are simply hungry. And I guess in one way, it's for the vegetarians, the vegans, it forces a whole lot of people to become vegans and vegetarians. So join the crowd. Why? Because meat protein is just damn expensive. I mean, you look at what the cost of a steak is, it's crazy. Even hamburger meat is so insanely expensive. We shouldn't have this problem in this country. We really shouldn't. And there are plenty of countries, particularly Europe, where this kind of problem doesn't exist. But then again, we go into the philosophy of taxation. How much tax can we possibly pay? And we are a country that, unless you're super liberal, We don't believe, or a lot of us don't believe in taxation. That really doesn't exist in other parts of the world. Coming up, Handle on the News, late edition, right here, KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Jennifer Jones Lee.
Handle on the News, late edition.
Handle on the News.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
And this is KFI AM 640. Handle here. It is a Wednesday morning, November 24, day before Thanksgiving. Time for Handle on the News, late edition. Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne Resnick, and me. Oh!
Oh.
That was, oh, it's a, here, I have my phone here. It's a silver alert. Endangered elderly. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a silver alert.
I did, but I didn't know that they went off like amber alerts do.
There was one of those just a few days ago. This is the second one in a period of 3 or 4 days. At least I got one the other day, and I don't have my phone with me.
And that's
here, so I don't know if that just came over my phone.
So that's looking for an elderly person?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, where is the cutoff?
On which
age-wise?
You mean the lower end? When does it become silver?
Well, the higher end, I'm assuming, is well after someone has died. And then they're looking for remains. But what is the low end?
I don't know.
Well,
I just thought I'd ask.
You have a good point. Is it when you're eligible to join AARP?
Is it
when you're eligible to take early Social Security, regular Social Security at 67?
That is the question.
Here's the thing. It might vary state by state. Because there was a guy, 20-year-old man in Jackson, Mississippi, they issued a silver alert for yesterday. There was a 68-year-old woman in Spokane who had hers. So maybe it's anybody over 18. Is that silver? I don't know.
No, that wouldn't be a silver. Maybe it is.
She just said, at least in one jurisdiction, 20 years old will get you a silver alert.
Because amber alerts are for kids for the most part.
Do you want to share the information?
I don't have the information.
I that's what I'm searching for.
I just
for
knocked
right
it
now.
Off. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah.
Bother
and by the way,
look,
what if someone
in case you see the person, you won't know now.
Yeah. What if
that
someone just
could save someone?
What if someone just looks old?
Well, they give more information than just it's an older person. They give names if they know and things like that.
Okay, let's go ahead with the news. Lead story. Right. According to the White House, the mandate for the millions of federal workers that's kicked in seems to be working. It doesn't seem to literally gotten in the way of the business of government. 92% of the federal workers, there's 3.5 million of them, covered by the mandate, are vaccinated. And,
at least partially
vaccinated. Yeah, at least partially vaccinated. We give some protection, but then there's partial, full booster. At some point, you're not going to be able to be fully vaccinated until you've been boosterized. We have to have boosterosity.
I like how you just make up words. It's your show. Whatever. Jobless claims are at their lowest in 52 years. So last week, we had just over 250,000. Well, now we're down to 199,000, 71,000 fewer than the week before. And economists are saying this is a whole lot bigger drop than they had been expecting.
Well, but hang on. There's a caveat here. And that is that's adjusted for the seasonal number of people. So if you go to, if you undo the seasonal, it's up a little bit, 259,000, but, or 260,000, but that's still low. I mean, we're still in pretty good shape.
Have they ever said specifically, or has there, I'm sure there's been a study that's been done about if you're a seasonal worker, how many of those seasonal jobs turn into full-time employment?
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a
or
good.
At least
that's
full-time,
a good, that's
part-time
a good,
employment.
That's a good question. Cause a lot of people, you know, go to a UPS, working part-time, hoping to get a full-time job, hoping to get hired. And that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
Everything is out there, especially when it comes to stats by the government.
Oh.
Okay. Fewer Americans are moving to new homes than at any time since the government started keeping track of this, which goes back to 1948. According to the Census Bureau data, only 8.4% of Americans today live in a different house than they did a year ago.
Well,
they have been tracking that every year since 1948.
Now, a couple of reasons. First of all, You can't buy a new house. You can't afford a house. And if you can, there aren't any to buy.
This is all true what you say. But what's interesting is that happens against the backdrop of this. This number of Americans who are in a new home since the year before has been going down basically from the time they started measuring it. In the 50s and 60s, it was about 1 in 5 Americans moved in the period of a given year. By the 2000, it was down to 14%. 10 years ago, 11.5%. Now it's 8.4%. So certainly right now, what you're talking about is relevant, but it's just been in decline since the 50s, steadily.
Now, maybe more Americans are realizing that buying a home, you're really buying a money pit in terms of maintaining your house. And any homeowner knows exactly what I'm talking about.
It's also the graying of the population. You know, we have more residents over 65 than ever before. And generally at that point, number one, you're more likely to own the home that you're living in. Because they're not, this does not necessarily mean everybody's owning their homes. This includes people who rent. But you're more likely to own the home. So a greater percentage of the population is more likely to own. And also, once you hit that point and you own a home, it's just way less likely you're going to move.
Yes, that's true. Especially the difficult, well, it's easy to sell, but then it's just as hard to buy. So, you know, why bother?
Well, and I know I did a story yesterday that had been on Fox Business where it was the CEO of one of these major realty companies who said that it's just going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And then also,
Prices are going to keep going up.
Home prices are going to keep going up, and that he does not see any decline in the market anytime soon. And so if you didn't get in now, because a lot of people were thinking, oh, it'll go down in the next year or so. Nope. He says no. And in fact, the California Association of Realtors says there still may be just a slight window for home buyers, but that prices are continuing to hit record numbers. All right. Speaking of record numbers, how about this one? The average LA County gas price just hit $4.71, if you round it up. That is the 9-year-old record out the window of more than 18 months of increases because of rising demand after we got rid of the pandemic restrictions.
Yeah. This is why I'm looking for an electric car, but I can't find any of those either.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Try to find an electric car that's garaged in a new home.
Can I try like the silver ticket. Lining this?
Sure.
This thing, at least you can get the gas.
Okay.
Some people remember when it wasn't just the high prices, it was there wasn't
gas shortage starting in 1973 with the OPEC revolution.
Right.
When gas is quadrupled. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back, have some Thanksgiving news, and we'll finish up Handle on the News late edition. This is KFI as we check into and with Jennifer Jones Lee. And we're back. Bill Handel and the morning crew. It is a Wednesday morning, November 24. And let's finish up Handel on the News late edition with Jennifer and Wayne and me.
And you've got about 9 hours until maximum enforcement period begins. That's when the Highway Patrol will be saturated out there looking for DUI drivers. Starts at 6 o'clock today. It will end at midnight on Sunday.
Yeah, not too many Highway Patrol officers are getting Thanksgiving off. Every cop out there, every cop they can get.
Why announce when you're starting and when you're stopping? Why don't you just say we're doing it?
I think it's more of a deterrent because that's when people do it. Although you have a point, get drunk like just before
because,
that.
Because there was already getaway traffic yesterday. You had people on roads. Why not just last Friday, say, we're entering the holiday period and we're going to be out there.
Okay, does it heighten the fine?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. Experts are cautioning the use of the word looting when you talk about the Bay Area smash and grabs that have been happening or the ones here in Southern California. Because what is this? Is this actually burglarizing or looting? If it's looting, it doesn't sound... I don't think it doesn't sound as egregious as somebody going in and burglarizing something.
To me, it sounds far worse. Looting. Oh, yeah. Looting. I mean, that's because there were jurisdictions and plenty of them where you shoot looters on sight. And you don't sue burglars on site. I'm talking about the authorities.
From the authorities.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
And you know why? Because looting is considered a complete breakdown in society. At that point, anarchy reigns, where burglary it does not.
And what about robbery?
Robbery
calling
is,
them robberies.
Yes. Well, and also looting has a specific penal code definition. It has to be done during a theft or burglary during a state of emergency, and it has to be a declared state of emergency. So that was not looting. I think it was just a generic term used by the cops. That's all.
I have a question. Is it helpful for the and the reason we're talking about this is you have different experts now are coming out and saying, oh, I would like to take issue with calling what's happening up in San Francisco and here at the Grove looting. Does it help anybody experts to
it's
come
just
split
minutia.
Semantical
yeah.
hairs
I mean,
like
it is,
this?
I mean, it is a legal point, and
you
they're
could
right,
call it,
but so
I mean,
what?
Okay, it's technically not looting because there is no state of emergency, although, look, I can split hairs with the best of them. Does it have to be a declared, an official declared state of emergency, or just a situation that people would consider a state of emergency, in which case I say a bunch of people constantly smashing windows and stealing things is a state of emergency?
Well, we are.
In which case it becomes looting.
Yeah.
We can call it organized robbery.
Yes, we can. That works.
We can call a lot of stuff. How about this? Let's figure out a way to stop it. Oh! Now, I got to say, I agree 100% with all of what I'm about to tell you. Kyle Rittenhouse says he is considering A, changing his name, probably smart. B, growing a beard, okay. C, he's going to try to lose some weight, all of it to disguise his appearance. And he is going to move out of Illinois, and I don't know that he's going to tell anybody where he's moving.
Yeah, a couple of points here. One, he's giving up, I think, a healthy income because he could be the poster boy for gun advocates. I mean, what do you think? He'd be paid to speak at an NRA convention. On the other hand, if he does lose weight, he can join Oprah in being a spokesperson for Weight Watchers because he's so well known. So there are it's both positive and negative.
What a dilemma, because in order to capitalize on the aftermath of this whole situation,
He has to be Kyle Rittenhouse. But look at the infamy. And look at
He's really got to decide.
And you can't do both. Unless he is, in fact, goes to the NRA meeting with a bag over his head and just the holes. The unknown defendant.
The unknown advocate.
Yes.
Well, everybody will know it's him.
Italy has finally freed Amanda Knox's roommate. She was the only one who was actually convicted in the murder of British student Meredith Kircher and served that 16-year prison sentence. Fabrizio Ballerini said Rudy Guidi's planned release had been moved up a few weeks by the judge, and he was freed on Tuesday.
16 years, although he could go out on weekends and go to work. I don't know how when that happened. But I'll tell you one thing about Europe. You get 16 years, you do 16 years. There's no good behavior time at all. You're just in jail for that period of time in prison.
They also have lower average sentences. Remember that the Scandinavian.
Oh yeah, where that kid killed 78 students. You're talking about with a bomb or went in with a gun and that labor camp for kids.
Oh,
yeah. It was not a labor camp. It was a camp for the labor movement for the kids. Yeah,
and he didn't get the death penalty. He didn't get life in prison.
No,
it's
no.
Crazy.
No.
People, look, you got to move on these Disneyland Magic Key passes. Disneyland says after selling out earlier this year of the top tier Dream Key option at $1,400, they're now out of the second tier option. Which is called the Believe Key. I believe that will run you $950, but there aren't any more of those. All that's left for you is the Enchant Key at $650, and then the low end
Riffraff Key.
The Riffraff Imagine Key at a mere $400, which you can only get if you're a Southern California resident. You can only get that one.
Yeah, now, I want to make a point here about Disney. It doesn't matter what they charge, they sell out. They could have sold the top tier tickets for $5,000 and they would have sold out.
I agree.
Now, the more they raise prices, it's $150 now to get into Disneyland, or $140-something. And the park is completely packed, so you can't get in. So
the whole thing is all these people are like, God, they raised their prices so much so often over the last just two, 3 years. they've been doing it to try to get the crowds to thin out, and they can't.
Yeah, but they're not returning the money.
Well, and they're not saying, okay, that didn't work. Let's lower our prices a little bit. No, no, no. But that's what they've been trying to accomplish, is to literally price people out of coming.
And it doesn't work.
So it's not jam-packed every day, and there's nothing they can do to stop people.
It doesn't work. Let's say they open park one day just for people that are willing to pay $10,000 a head to go in. I'm willing to bet the park would be fairly crowded.
It would be full of disappointed rich people who assumed they would have the park mostly to themselves. But in fact, will be all crowded in there.
It would. All right. We're done, guys. Coming up, packaging mistakes, a personal story, a story that I guarantee you're in the middle of, and a little history. A little packaging history all rolled into one, maybe two segments. So we'll be back. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.